So today we're going to start a new series called What, Why, How? What, Why, How? What, Why, How? And the point of the series is we have many questions in life, and sometimes we don't get the answers. And so sometimes we have questions like, why is the sky blue? Why is water wet? What's the next thing since sliced bread? Or maybe some deeper ones like, how do I handle stress? How do I deal with difficult people? What's my purpose? How do I change? How can I be the parent that God wants me to be and the one my kids need? How can I be a better husband or wife? Etc., etc. And you can allow all the questions to flow in your heads. So please turn with me in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read, and then we're going to have a look at what we got today. I'm going to try and do it due diligence. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And so we want to start the series with that verse in mind and as the backdrop and the overhanging thing of ask, seek, and knock. And this morning amazed me. I know we live in the same house, but Louise didn't know what I was going to preach on today. And so I just said to you, almost took my whole sermon, thank you very much. And so I think the Lord's trying to say something to us. And I think when the Lord wants to highlight stuff and point something out to us, the best thing we can do is pay attention to it. And so this morning, and when we look at the word revolution, what happened? And now I know Alan's thinking, what are the RPMs per minute? That's not the revolution I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we start a revolution. I'm talking about like Che Guevara and that kind of revolution. But I'm not going to talk about that kind either. And this morning, I want to talk about. Let me switch this on. We can do that. How to start a hot revolution. How can we start a heart revolution? A revolution of our hearts. And we see this amazing quote that says, the greatest challenge of the day is how to bring about a revolution of the heart, a revolution which has to start with each one of us. Now don't be going, yeah, no, that person next to me, my wife, she needs her heart fixed. Now my husband, now my kids, my neighbor. The person sitting in front of me. No, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with you individually. It's got to start with me individually. And the question is, are you aware that we all have stuff in our life that needs to be changed? We all have stuff that we go along in life, and we're going to look at some of that, and then we go and we're so sidetracked that we don't realize, man, I've got issues. As I've often said, you know, I've got, give me some tissues for my issues. And we have these things that I've spoken about a number of times called a scotoma, which means a blind spot in the original language, Greek. Because we know that from the Greek word, all other words come, right? Oh my, you're all so slow. I guess you've never seen the movie. Okay. And we know that even Paul had some issues with his tissues. He says, Romans 7:15, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And I know there's a theological context to that, but let's just take that at face value today, because I know there's stuff that you do sometimes and you go, why on earth did I do that? Why did I say that? Why am I behaving like this? How did I get there? And Paul's saying, as though we have victory over sin, sometimes we do sin, as I said a little while, we do get foolish and we sin. And we have to understand that's not where the Christ wants us to live. That's where the enemy wants us to live. That's where he wants us to stay. Changes in habits develop imperceptibly over time. I know I've told you, underneath all this lurks a good body. But imperceptibly over time, something happened. I know it's still in there. It's got to break out someday. Or break in, or break off. I have no idea. Change is a process, it's not an event. The decline is ever so subtle. So we're unaware that we're on this downward decline. And we have this present, it's like a person falling into sin is like a fish or an animal who sees the bait and cannot resist it. And they take it and they grab hold of it. And only when they've grabbed hold of it do they realize. I'm sure fish have no brains. They see this thing dangling in the water. And I want to know, those who catch and release all the time, because I hunt for food. Those who catch and release, I wonder how many times, if we could count, the same fish got caught the same time on the same bait. That would be an interesting stat to do. To find out, you know, does this fish get it? It's not supposed to actually take that thing in the water. And we find that sometimes sin ensnares us, but it begins in the mind. I know you don't believe me, but I'm going to help you. So that's the downward line, the yellow line. James 1:4 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Oh my word. And I'm going to show you how we go and how we live that. And if we look at the progression this morning, this is not to condemn anyone, but this is for you to go, I recognize, or I see myself there, or now I get that. Many years ago when I was in business, I was on the way home and I was talking to the HR person on the phone, and on my cell phone, they had invented them in those days, and I was talking, and I heard this voice echoing back like in a screech tone. And I was like, sorry, am I screeching at you? And they said, yeah, you are. And we just happened to have a guy come and do a leadership thing with us on stress levels. And he said, there are 8 stress levels in life, in business. Number 8, you're in hospital. I recognized myself in number 7. And I was like, I've got to do something about this. So I did. And that's when I went to work and I made some, what I call, career-limiting speeches. Because I was the kind of guy that if somebody wasn't accomplishing their task properly, and I knew I was responsible, I'd just take it away from them. So you not let me do this. So everyone else came to work at 8 in the morning and they were like happy-go-lucky. Me, I'm working 17, 18 hours a day. I'm working Saturdays. I'm working Sundays. I'm going. I went back that day and I took all that work and I said, no, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours. I'm not doing that anymore. You got to do it. And I was relieved from my stress, and I got a little bit better. I digress. The good news is that I'm also going to give us some good guidelines and points or handles on how we can get rid of all this stuff. And I want to introduce you to the person who heals and does it all. It ain't me. Jesus is his name. So let's have a look. Number one, it becomes a part of your identity. An area that is out of order in your life becomes a part of your identity, and you start unwittingly to take on the personality of that very thing that is dragging you down. Your responses become this, like this. Well, you're just going to have to deal with it. This is who I am. You're going to have to understand that this is how I live my life. This is who I am. My grandfather was like this. My father was like this. And I'm like this. And man, my kids are going to be like that. That's not who Christ called you to be. This is my life. I'm going to live it how I like and how I want. And you're just going to have to get used to it because that's who I am. That's not what the Bible tells us and teaches us. Teenagers, this is my body and I'll do what I like with it. Anyone ever heard any of this stuff? Or am I just talking confused here? You can make all your own myself, ourself, meself, your own indulgent expressions as I go along. And sadly, some Christians still live that way. You know, there's some of these wonderful help program things, some of the 10 steps and 12 steps and whatever kind of steps you go. And it doesn't matter how healed you are, how delivered you are, how set free you are. When you go to these meetings, You still have to sit down and say, "Ha, my name's Mark and I'm an addict." Or, "Ha, my name's Mark and I'm an alcoholic." Doesn't matter how many years you've been free, how many years. And we Christians, we're the same. "Ha, my name's Mark and I'm a sinner saved by grace." "Ha, my name's Mark and how about I was a sinner, I have been so great, but hi, my name's Mark, I'm a child of the King. My name's Mark and I am righteous because of Jesus Christ. My name is Mark and because I'm able to hold up holy hands." We can come into His presence. And we have to understand that when it comes to that kind of stuff, we see 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a sort of made up, almost there. No, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Christ didn't come to make an improved you. He came to make a new you and a new me. And when we come together and we understand it, it's not so that I can just cope with, like I can white knuckle it and go, I'll just make it. I'll just get it through the door. That's not why Christ came. Christ came so that we can live in the image of Christ. That we can be, I think someone said that this morning, we are made in His image. And at birth we need a Savior, and that's why Jesus came. And we need to learn to have a revolution of the heart. Break down, tear down the walls that are around our hearts. Break out of it. Admit your whatever it is. Deal with it. Get healed. And do not fall for the lie of the enemy. "This is just who I am. This is how I was made." Because none of us were made right. We were made sinners. But we're made in His image, and that's why we need to come to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for taking my sin. Thank You for Your imputed righteousness to me." I'm taking too long. Second, you feel increasingly hopeless. Some of you already got to this place, you're in downward spiral, given up or checked out. Some of you maybe here today or you're listening to me are going, "I've heard all this stuff before. It didn't work for me. It's not helpful. I've checked out. I don't want to hear this." Well, as long as you're sitting in the four walls of this building, you're going to need to. Some are resigned to the fallacy and not the fact that this won't work for me. My prayer this morning is God's Spirit would invade us this morning, wake us up, and we would dial in. Holy Spirit, would You come this morning and speak to our hearts? Holy Spirit, would You infuse us this morning? Would You have a heart revolution ready for us to step into? Thank You, Lord, that You are able to change us from the inside out. I encourage you, do not give up hope. The third thing is, you become defensive. Things haven't changed. When people press a button in you, you become defensive. This is just this journey, this downward spiral for you. I have a right to live my life the way I want to. No one's going to tell me how I should live my life. I come from a country where there's a certain breed of people called the Afrikaans boere, farmers. They are tough, resilient, but they are the kind of people, nobody tells me what to do with my life. Jesus, break in. Help them. Defensive people won't allow others to speak into their lives. It's like you know, have you ever sat and listened to a dog barking? Bap, 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 and you just dialed out. You go, bap, 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 bap. And sometimes we like that when we're defensive. We just, the people are speaking, and we just, I can't hear, I'm dialed out. Oh, I don't hear us. People of the butt need a revolution of the heart. When they start making excuses, then the but. "Well, you don't understand my life, but." I've told you so many times that when you use the word but, it negates everything else you just said in front of that, and now we are going into what you want to be. When you keep defending the very thing that's got you where you are, you're on this downward slope to nowhere, and it will, listen carefully, it will cause you damage. And my defensiveness creates an arrogance and a pride that no one can tell me what to do. Number four, you become a slave to this thing. You will become the thing, the slave, and it will start running your life. Don't worry, I got this under control. You heard those words before? Ever heard those words? You don't have control, and it controls you and directs your life into what you don't want to be doing or behave in the way you don't want to behave. Romans 6:7-8. Go and do a Bible study on that. You know what chili con carne is? It's chili with meat, with flesh. Romans 6:7-8 is Christian con carne. It's Christian living, and it's teaching us about Christians living in the flesh. And we want to break out of that. We don't want Christian con carne. We just want Christian Holy Spirit. It's living in the flesh. Your body has needs and appetites and emotions. It's the enemy's plan to keep your flesh in control against the Spirit, which you love God with, but cries out to be victorious. The last one, you begin to lose your life. Are we good? You begin to lose your life. What does this mean? I'm actually going to literally die? Well, you might. Well, in the all end, we all do, but there you go. What it means is you've lost the hope of all the potential that God has placed inside of you. All that God created and placed within you is gone. Your dreams, your aspirations that God gave you, they seem gone. I've messed up so much. I'll never fulfill my dreams and my purposes. I'll never get that back. I'm just going to live this defeated life, and I'll just get on and I'll just do my thing and I'll get it. As Kevin likes to say, hashtag truth for you today. God is more than able to get rid of, to restore, to redeem, to bring you back. All that stuff that's happened to you, all your disappointments, He's able to turn them around and use all that hidden potential and aspirations and dreams for His good and His glory. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how many chapters in your book of life that you've written and you go, ooh, that's a terrible chapter, that was the worst chapter, oh, that's even worse. God gets to write the last chapter in your book for your redemption, for you to live a Christ-filled life. So what is the revolution of the heart? I'm so glad you asked. Think about those five things that I just said to you now. On one continuum, and where you are, and you say, oh, that's all of me, or that's one of me, or whatever the case may be. If I could just make a change in this area or areas, be it with your attitudes, your emotions, your relationships, habits, your tongue, your addictions, your secret sins. Romans 6:12. Therefore do not... This is not like... What did God mean when He said this? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin. These are like imperatives. To sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer some of you the part that you feel like about today. No. Every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. Let no sin rule or reign in your body. Give yourself completely to Jesus. Most people have almost got there. I'm nearly there. I'm almost at the top of the hill. To be the best at something, you have to give yourself fully to that thing. If you're sporty in sports, I don't think I practice. Why go to practice? I'll just rock up and I'll just play the game and I'll be good. I used to have a friend once. We watched Wimbledon once, many years ago. And he was watching, I think it was, what's his name? Jimmy Connors. This is how old it, long ago it was. Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe play. And he looks at me, never picked up a tennis racket in his life. And he says, I could do that. I was like, yeah, not this side of heaven, dude. It's easy. I said, just go to the baseline and try and put one over the net as a serve. And those of you who've never played tennis, if you go and try and serve the first time, you'll see, whoa, there's a whole lot of stuff in this. Well, try and be a golf player. You know, Gary Player, one of the most famous golfers, when he got a hole in one, the guy said, ooh, you're so lucky. He said, yeah, the more I practice, the luckier I get. Practice. Why should I practice? This isn't, if it's not going to happen, we need to practice. Give yourselves fully to God. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with part of your heart, or how are you feeling about it today, if it's okay. No. When you seek me with all of your heart. Unless we go all in, we won't get the whole benefit. I have to try it almost. Seek Him with all our hearts. When you give yourself to God and seek Him completely, then this is the result. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. That's amazing. I would just say to you today, if you want to make a change, if you say to yourself this morning, Lord, I want to go all in. Here's some helpful things for you to start. How to start the revolution of the heart, or the heart revolution. Number one, stop the excuses. Stop. Stop procrastinating. Make a declaration for yourself. What is it that you will commit to going all in for God? Can the excuses, that's another word for saying stop. Today, declare, today is my breakthrough day. No more excuses. Do you know that people even made excuses to Jesus? I'm like, did you guys know who He was? And now you're making excuses? But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to Him, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Listen to all the eyes here. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought a 5 yoke of oxen and I'll go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Excuses. I. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. It's all about my wants. If you read this, it's all about His material goods. It's all about His wealth. It's all about His own family. And Jesus, this is the great parable of the banquet. And Jesus is inviting people to the banquet. And they're going, I've got more important stuff. I promise you, if you go all in for God, He will change stuff in your life. I'm not talking rose-tinted spectacles where come to Jesus and everything's going to know, because the Bible is very clear. It says, in this life you will have trials and tribulations. We still got to get through this fallen world. We live in a fallen world, but we are heavenly bound. The second thing is make the break. We there? Make the break. To move forward and upward, you have to break from the thing that is holding you. You can't hold intention, because that'll rip you and off together. God is calling us to an all new life, which means we have to make some practical breaks from the old thing. Your life won't change. Your life won't change. Your life won't change until you make the break. Make the break from anything and everything that is holding you back. From your regrets, your attitudes, resentments, offenses, unhealthy relationships. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership is righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship is light with darkness? What accord is Christ with Belial? Another name for the devil. What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said. This is not the temple of the living God. This is not the holy place. This is the temple of God. This is the holy place. And so I've said it, I think, in a sermon. There is no sanctuary that's built of brick and mortar. That was Old Testament. New Testament, this is the sanctuary now. The living flesh. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here's that expression cling slow closely. Cling. The Greek word is epiriostatos, which means skillfully ambushes and thwarts from every angle. Skillfully ambushes and thwarts from every angle. The enemy is at work closely, holding and thwarting and ambushing us, and we think we're going along the road. We forget that this ambush is taking place. Everything, and it goes on and says, every weight and sin which clings so closely. Everything, which that means in the Greek means, everything that is a stone around your neck. A weight that is dragging you down. Go for a swim with a stone around your neck and see what happens. Try and run the 100 meters with a stone around your neck. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. You say, Mark, this is really not a fun sermon this morning. This is not meant to be one. It's meant to cause a revolution in our hearts. And in my heart. And I've told you, I don't just write this stuff and go, ooh, yeah, that's cool. They're going to get it this Sunday. No, I'm in my office. I'm on my knees going, oh, Lord, I get it. I get it. I get it, Lord. Because how can I deliver it to you without me getting it? Well, these would just be nice for the church. I'll just go, no. The third thing is, we have to fill the void. Stop making excuses, make the break, and fill the void. Well, what does that mean, Mark? It means that when we stop making excuses, when we make the break, we leave a void. And the point is, we have to fill the void. When we stop doing this, we can't just go on and do this because there's this void. And we have to fill the void. Growing up, we were taught, I know when I grew up in the church, I was taught, no, you can't do this, can't do that, no swimming on a Sunday because Sunday's day of rest, no, can't do it, no. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm allowed to do. That's religion. God's goal is not to sterilize you to boredom and to death. No. And I mean, it's just like Kevin said this morning, I'm serious. I know we joke a lot about it. And hear my heart on this. If you can go to a party on Friday and Saturday night and you can bop and dance, why can't you do it when you come to church? You can scream and shout at the TV when your team is winning or losing, but you can't come and declare God's glories. I'm talking to men mostly this morning. Don't elbow your husband, wives. I've got stuff for you too. Everything that we stop doing, we have to fill it. The law of don'ts doesn't help you to fill the void. When we don't fill the void, the world will still be appealing to us. Because there's this emptiness, this void in my life, and we're going, I don't know what to fill it with. It's like this old-time preacher said, I'm not going to try and do it with a southern accent, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'll take it and throw it in the river. And if I had all the beer in the world, I'll take it and throw it in the river. And if I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river. He didn't fill the void. And the worship leader stood up and said, turn to your hymnals and in hymn 492, shall we gather at the river? You get the point? You get the point? If you are serious about God, and you want to go all in for God, you have to stop the excuses, make the break, and fill the void. So how do you fill the void then? I'm so glad you asked. Give your life to Jesus. Oh, Mark, you don't understand, I'm already a Christian. No, you're not listening to what I'm saying. I said, give your life to Jesus. I actually mean your whole life. Well, I'm a Christian now. I've got hell and fire insurance. I'm all good. No. Give your life to Jesus. Fall in love with the person of Jesus. Rekindle the flame of Jesus. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let that verse just ruminate, get into you. Holy and acceptable to God. How holy and acceptable are we to God in our behavior and our living? Let our worship be full to Him. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all people, shout to God with loud songs of joy. I love how the King James puts it. It says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. Who know we're in church? We can't shout. Well, shout! Come on. I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting with you. Thank you. Well, what are people? What did Kevin say? Golf clap. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. No golf clapping. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means do not get drunk with wine, speaking out of, or don't get drunk with sports, don't get drunk with shopping, ladies, don't get drunk with food, don't get drunk in your attitudes, don't get drunk in your emotions, or whatever it is. Because by now the Holy Spirit has pulled out His sword and it's pointed at your heart and you're going, I don't like the sermon. I don't like what you're preaching this morning. I just don't like it. Well, it's not about you. It's about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He says, for that is debauchery. You know what debauchery means? It means extreme indulgences in your senses, which translates to your body and soul, are calling the shots. Your spirit man is not calling the shots. Your body and soul are calling the shots in your life. Well, I just feel like doing this. Man, there's so much I just feel like doing. But then I look at my King and my Savior and I go, yeah, no, that's not a good feeling, Mark. Be filled. That word means to be caused to abound, to furnish, or supply liberally. Not almost there, not halfway there. You know, Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. We're halfway there. Well, oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to do that in church. Eh? Yeah. Some of you are looking at me like the pastor just lost his mind. Come on, man. Work with me. Be filled. Not halfway there, but abounding, overflowing all the way. How is your reservoir for Jesus doing? Well, I'll come to church and I'll be like a little church mouse. I'm going to be good in church. They've got a word for that in the Bible. I can't say it because people say, oh man. Man, what have you got to lose if you don't go all in? I'll tell you what, your life. Filling the void. Number two. We're nearly done. Get connected. Oh, there he goes again. Yeah, there I go again. I'm telling you, get connected. Be regular in church. I have a friend in South Africa. I was talking to him the other day. He says, he's got this guy in the church. He sees him like once every 4 weeks, once every 5 weeks, once every 6 weeks. The guy says, hey, babe, how's your spiritual life? He says, you're my pastor. I'm there. I'm committed to you. I'm going, what? Don't be committed to me. You be committed to Jesus. You be committed to this body because you've been called here to be part of this body. Be regular in service. Be regular in prayer meetings. Come and pray. Pray up a storm. We love prayer. Well, then come and pray. No, I just do it in my closet at home. I know I'm standing on toes this morning, but it's okay. I love you all. Get into a connect group. Some great connect groups. Some amazing friendships and relationships. I know you're saying, oh, well, that sounds like religion. No, this is what I call good, healthy, biblical advice. The problem is people don't want to get connected because I'll fix this myself. I just want to fix this myself. I'll do this. Well, I'm asking you a question. How's it working for you? I've been fixing this problem for like the last 10 years. Yeah, it's not working. You can't fix you. You need God and His family. God will fix you. Jesus came and died for you. Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Living by the Spirit, not by your flesh and your soul. Try to fix yourself. Well, I'll ask you another. Are you closer to Jesus trying to fix yourself? Are you more in love with Jesus? Do you have a more fulfilled relationship with Him fixing yourself? I know, he says, now you're messing with me, Mark. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And then we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, one person who has no other, either son or brother, so he's all alone, he's not in a connect group, he's not going to church regularly, not just take it into our context. Yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with the riches. Wow! So that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This is also is pride and unhappy business. Are you saying we shouldn't work hard? No, I'm not saying that at all. Don't read what's not there. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one lifts up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And threefold cord is not quickly broken. One man trying to fix himself, there's no end to his toil. There's no end to what he's doing. He is never satisfied with all, and he has a prideful and unhappy life. You know, 15, 20 minutes back, nobody tells me what to do with my life. My countrymen. Pity the man alone and not connected. If you're not connected, you're actually dislocated. Well, they over there and I'm over here. No. You disconnected. You dislocated from the herd. We know what happens to, in the wildlife, what happens to someone who's dislocated from the herd. I don't know where I am now. Here we go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Salvation comes from God. Healing comes from us. Yeah, again, be careful who you confess your sins to, of course. Don't just go, well, I'm just going to tell anybody everything. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Pray with and for one another. Confess your sins to one another. And you're going to love this one. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, I'm right. I'm always right. I want to fight for my rights. I got rights. Let me tell you now, as a Christian, born again, you have no rights. That's me too. I don't have any rights. I belong to the One, to Jesus Christ. I'm a bond servant to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I do not have any rights. Number three, find your purpose. You can't solve your problems and you can't solve other people's problems. Now, I'm just going to go and help this person and solve their problems. Listen to this. The best way to solve your own problems is not to solve your problems. That sounds Irish. The way you solve your problems is to give you something bigger than your own problem to live for. The best way to solve your own problem is not to solve your problems. The way to solve your problem is to give you something bigger than your own problem to live for. Which means we need focus. We need a destiny. We need a purpose. Because the people think that if you're successful in business or you're successful, he's successful, she's successful. They're amazing. They don't have any problems. Are you kidding? Of course they have problems, but I'll tell you what. They found a secret. They found a purpose. And they're living in their purpose, and they're focused on their purpose, and they're going for their purpose. So when their problems come, they see this bigger purpose. They're not just successful because they're successful. It's because they've found problems to live for others. You think Paul the Apostle, was devoid of problems? Acts 20:24. There it is. It's up there, right? Probably all read that by now. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. There's no, I bought a field. There's no, I did this, I did that, I did the other. If only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace. That's his focus. That's his purpose. And we know how much problems he had. And he had health issues. He walked 3 inches of water. No, Peter walked on water. Paul got beaten and shipwrecked and almost drowned and poor eyesight. But he found his purpose. And I'm going to say it again. He was focused on his call, and we need to be focused on what God has given me, because your purpose is Jesus. If we could find Jesus in everything, that's your purpose. And so, but that sounds so simple. It is. Next time you want to make a decision, you go, how would that affect Jesus in my life? How would that change Jesus in my life? Because that's his purpose. Okay, let me nearly finish, because I know you're all getting hungry now. Live your life for the good of others. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You will never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever be more fulfilled than when you're serving others. I mean, on Friday, I know if you're anything like me, by the time I got home, my feet were so, I wanted to trade them in for a new pair. And I probably, some have felt that and went to bed. And I know some of you had aches and pains, and maybe not all of you, but hey, I did. But man, what a fulfillment to see all those other people out there when we're serving our community. And I know some of them came with some challenges. Oh yeah. But that's why we do this. Because we want to serve others. We want to serve our community. We want people to go like, this Muslim lady, will you come to my house and have tea with me? Wow. So this morning, will you draw a line in the sand and cross over that line? Will you have the courage to say, I have decided to go all in for Jesus? Would you have the courage to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Would you have the courage to make a noble stand? Holy Spirit is here this morning to draw you to Him. God believes in you. God loves you. He has faith in you. He has put it out there today in so many ways. If you listen to the pre-service prayers, if you listen to the prophetic words, if you listen to the worship, if you listen to the sermon, God is weaving a golden thread for us to pay attention this morning. So you've got to make the step. You can't just go, yeah, okay, God, I'm going to do this for you. He is a God of faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, He will be faithful. When you say, oh Lord, you just don't get it. No, He gets it. We were sharing yesterday with somebody. We met a man once who died and gone to heaven. He said he met Jesus. And when he looked into Jesus' eyes, he says, my Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. Your neighbor might not know something about you. That's why I always say there are no secrets. You think you got a secret? No, you don't. Jesus knows. He knows everything. He knows how many hairs are on your head, for goodness sake. So I'm just going to ask us, let's stand together this morning. I'm not going to call you up to the front. But I want Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning. I want you to have the opportunity to go through these things and go, Lord, I just come to you this morning, Lord, and yeah, I see myself in one of those five things. Maybe I'm at number five. Well, I'm just number one, wherever you are. But Lord God, I'm going to stop making excuses. I want to make the break and I want to fill that void. I want to give my life to you all in, Lord. I want to go all in for you, Lord. Now, that old song we used to sing, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Praise the Lord, no turning back. If we want to have a heart revolution this morning, is your opportunity this morning, right now. Jesus, change my heart. David the psalmist, Lord, search me and know my heart. If there be any wicked way in me. Father, my heart has been hurt. My heart has been damaged. Jesus, I don't want to live like this. I want to live all in for you. I want to walk in that victorious life. I want to be free in you, Christ Jesus. You just do some business with the Lord right now. You speak to him and he hears. He knows. He can make the change. He can give you a heart revolution. He can change you. He can work inside of you where you think nothing is possible. You can say, I've tried many times. I feel hopeless. He came to give us hope. He is the hope of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the wellspring of life. I'm going to come before you, Lord, this morning and say, Lord, I come and I set I aside and I put you in your rightful place, Jesus. You're not just my Lord and Savior, you are my Master. I submit all my rights to you, Jesus. We did communion this morning. Remember me when you come together, as often as you do, breaking bread, blood shed for us. Holy are you, Lord God. Mighty are you, Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.